You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
In our city. Well, as Natalie said, we've been in this series talking about friendships. All month long, we're going to continue it today and next Sunday as well. Friendships are just so incredibly valuable. Of course, they're valuable for our spiritual health, our physical health, our mental health. But God also uses our friendships to impact and influence the world around us. And that's why this whole series is designed around building great friendships.
Yep. Well, Jeff and I read this medical article that was published by Harvard this last week, and it was an extensive and super fascinating article asking one important question: what makes someone healthy? A study started in the 1930s. It was started back in the 1930s, back in the Great Depression era, and they followed hundreds of people around through their entire life journey. Every year they met for interviews, they had medical exams, they tested their blood, they interviewed their spouses and closest loved ones, and they did this year after year after year, and this was their conclusion. The number one indicator of health and longevity in someone's life is meaningful relationships. That's a big deal. We put a link to the research in our, study in our sermon notes, and there's even a TED Talk if you want to watch it later. But it was this amazing study because they worked with people from all kinds of different backgrounds. It included doctors, construction workers, inner city kids. One U.S. president was even involved in the study, and their conclusion was so simple. The highest factor in your ability to live a long, healthy, and happy life was your ability to maintain vibrant and meaningful relationships. Now, genetics, they did have an impact, and so did cholesterol levels, right? But the number one factor was simple: healthy and long-lasting relationships. Now, as pastors and as people of faith, we obviously believe the most important relationship that you can have is a relationship with Jesus. So if you've never started a relationship with Jesus, then by the end of our time together this morning, we're going to give you a chance to start following Jesus today. But in addition to our relationship with Jesus, we believe that God desires to impact all of our relationships. Both Jeff and I are incredibly grateful for every meaningful relationship that we have in our lives, and we believe that it is every Christian's invitation to have a deep and belonging relationship with at least a few people in our lives.
That's why the entire month of January we've been asking this question: how can we love FOCO through godly relationships? And what I love about the Harvard medical research study is that it reinforces what we read in here. That meaningful, godly, Christ-centered relationships are vital for every single one of us. This is why we're doing Invite Sunday next Sunday. And we're encouraging everyone in our church family to bring a friend to church. We've made it really easy. We're going to add chairs for next Sunday, just so there's enough space for you to bring your friends. But we made this incredibly easy. If you go to votrweekly.com, you can look up the invitation. We've got a logo. We've got a textable invite. Of course, we have the hard copy invites that you can grab on your way out. And next Sunday will be a special time to share together. It's going to be busy. I think you're leading worship. Yep. I'm preaching, so yep. It will be another Sunday morning the Faust family, but it will be a powerful one because we're going to talk about how Jesus examined friendship, what he said about friendship, and what it means to lay your life down for one's friends. This is what uniquely qualifies Jesus as our best friend, and he invites us to live like him. We're also promoting small groups starting next week. We can't talk all month long without some like concrete, natural next steps, and small groups would be a great next step for many of us. And so if you want to lead a small group, connect with Natalie.
Let me know.
So that we can promote your group starting next week. You know, all of these things play into how we want to build and develop godly relationships, whether it's inviting people to church, building a friendship on the person of Jesus Christ, whether it's staying devoted and building trust, getting plugged into small groups. And all of these messages, they're quite uplifting. But for today's sermon, as we continue the series, we are going to take a little bit of a turn. And we're going to talk about how friends stay committed to one another in the midst of challenging times, in the midst of pain, even in the midst of suffering. Today's message is titled, Friends Suffer Together. Friends Suffer Together. And I realize this is not like the most uplifting sermon title you've probably ever heard. I highly doubt you woke up this morning thinking, you know what, I hope Jeff and Natalie talk about today, pain and suffering.
That would just be great, right?
Yeah. Probably not hitting the, you know, like we'll all hit the snooze button for that one, right? But this is important. This is important. We have to talk about this. We opened the series talking about how friends introduce friends to Jesus. This is an important thing about people of faith. We introduce our best friends to the best news that we know. And we want to stay devoted. We talked about that last week. But friends, especially as you study scripture, we also realize that friends stick together through hard times, through pain, even through suffering. And most of us, if we're being honest, we try to avoid talking about pain. We try to avoid talking about suffering with most of our life. But it's important to talk about. It's important to talk about pain and suffering. Of course, we all look forward to the day when all of God's promises come true, that every tear will be wiped away, that all pain and all death and all suffering will be eradicated forever, and we'll live in eternal relationship with God, in perfection. But until that day comes, we are going to struggle. We're going to experience challenge and pain, and some of us may experience incredibly deep suffering. That's why we need to study biblical friendships. We need to ask God to move in our own hearts so that we can be the kind of friends that stick close together in the midst of pain and suffering. Today, we're going to study Acts 16, where you're going to find a relationship between two men, a man named Paul and a man named Silas. And I think one of the more fascinating things about this godly friendship is that by the time Paul and Silas started traveling and doing ministry together, it was a well-known fact that wherever Paul went, he experienced hardship. By the time these two guys linked up together, it was clear and obvious that wherever Paul went, he saw incredible things and he experienced incredible suffering. And what I love about their relationship is that even through the shipwrecks and through being beaten and experiencing starvation and getting thrown into prison, Silas never ditched Paul. He never walked out on him. In fact, he just kept signing up for the next missionary trip. He stayed close together and he stayed at his sides. You know, sometimes when friends link up and we go about doing kingdom adventures together, it is true that sometimes we get to preach the gospel to the city and we get to see healing and we get to see God move in miraculous ways, but sometimes we also go on kingdom adventures and we get to experience pain and we experience exhaustion and we experience suffering. And it's in those moments that you want to take a brief time to look to your right and to your left and you want to see and pay attention to who's sticking with you. Because those are the kinds of friends that will sustain you through suffering from this day forward.
Let's read Acts 16 together. This is the kind of the very moment where the kingdom adventure that they're on goes from this mountaintop experience to the dark valley. And let's allow their relationship to teach us a little bit about how godly friends suffer together. Verse 22. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household." There's a lot in this short passage, but if we focus in on the how-tos of being a godly friend in the midst of pain, there are a couple key things to point out here. First, as you heard in verse 25, it starts with prayer and worship. In your suffering, include prayer and worship. One of the best things that you can do as a friend is include prayer and worship when things go south. Paul and Silas, they were on this amazing mission trip, right? People were experiencing freedom and forgiveness and healing. And then the next thing you know, they're getting arrested and beaten and thrown into prison. But I love verse 25. Look at it one more time with me. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were listening. They were praying and worshiping, and they weren't even being quiet about it. Every single one of us would understand if the text read something like this in verse 25. So around midnight, exhausted and tired, they prayed quietly, and they wouldn't get beat, so that they wouldn't get beat again, right? Like, they wanted to be quiet. They wanted to hide. Then they fell asleep, hoping that the news would be better in the morning. But it didn't read that way. They were wide awake. They were calling on the name of the Lord, supporting each other like godly friends would do by praying and worshiping together. You can always tell who's really with you, because when the trials get big, their prayers end up getting a lot bigger. I know that I want to be that kind of mom. I want to be that kind of wife. I want to be that kind of pastor and friend who prays when things gets tough. I imagine that we all want to be that kind of friend. And it's important to take a cue from Paul and Silas, that when things get hard, like even really hard, we make sure that prayer and worship is a part of our suffering. Who in your life is suffering right now? It could be you that's suffering. But it could be someone close to you. Imagine the love they would feel if you simply committed to praying and worshiping with them. Not trying to fix anything yourself, right? But going to God on their behalf. A few weeks ago, the Buffalo Bills were playing. I don't know if you remember this in the news, but one of their final...
Everyone's just shocked right now because you're leading with a football story right now instead of me.
Surprised you. I know some football things. I watch some football.
It's because it's on at the Faust House a lot.
Because somebody watches football. I learn a lot.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt. It just dawned on me.
There you have
it. I invited everyone over for dinner and you started talking to them about football.
I know.
The irony of this morning together.
Your mind is blown for the day. Well, anyway.
Yeah, I know. I totally interjected you there.
Come on now. We're preaching here. Well, a few weeks ago, the Buffalo Bills, they were playing one of their final regular season games when DeMar Hamlin, he got hit in the head and he was knocked out. He completely collapsed to the ground, right? They had to do CPR right in the moment on the field, and it made the news way beyond the football world, because it was this horrific injury, and it was all happening live on national television. And like some of you, our family was watching it all play out. Well, thankfully, he's recovering, and it looks like he'll be all right, but here's what I noticed. In the midst of this moment of incredible suffering and pain and heartache, nobody was really asking for good vibes. Like, you know.
It's true.
No one was really asking for good vibes. I mean, what are good vibes? You know? I don't know what they are. If you can tell me, I would love to know. I don't know what it means, but I just thought that it was really interesting. Everyone was asking for prayer. All the interviewers and all of the reporters and all the stories, they called for the same thing. They called for prayer. Pray for DeMar, pray for his family, and pray for healing. Good vibes weren't going to get DeMar Hamlin breathing again. They needed prayer. And through those prayers, it now seems like God is moving in the midst of the entire team, because when pain and suffering came their way, prayer and worship was at the center of their response. And now their hearts are being awakened to the reality of God. Part of being a godly friend and part of loving FOCO is making sure that prayer and worship has room in your relationships, especially in the midst of suffering.
I want to revisit verse 25 once more. Because Natalie talking about how prayer and worship needs to be involved in the midst of our friendships that are suffering, that's the first part of verse 25. I want to focus a little bit on the second part of verse 25. Let me read it one more time. It says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. That's Natalie's part of the message. Second half, and the other prisoners were listening. The other prisoners were listening. And later in the passage, Natalie already read it this morning, we learn that the jailer was listening too. And everyone around them was listening to their prayer and their worship. The next thing that happens in this kind of scenario and setting is in the midst of this suffering, in the midst of the prayer and worship, a giant earthquake shakes the jail cell to its very foundation. And all the stocks that bound the prisoners, the stocks that bound Paul and Silas together, were shaken free in a miraculous display of God's power. And here's what's fascinating about what happens next in the passage. No one tried to escape. I mean, incredible move of God, incredible experience of his power, and no one's running away from the pain. No one is escaping the suffering. If that's you and me, I would hope you have my back. We're like getting out and no. We're going out. Like, we have kids, we've got jobs, we got a church. Like, this is clearly God setting us free. Let's go. But not Paul and Silas. Their first inclination was not to escape the suffering. Like so many of us, if we're honest, we try to do maybe on a daily or a weekly basis. And we spend boatloads of money in our culture trying to be distracted from pain, trying to avoid suffering, trying to get away from all the hardship in our life, but not Paul and Silas. Their first inclination was to pause and to look to see what God was up to, and then to obediently follow him, even if it meant staying in prison for just a short while longer. Even when their backs were probably still bloodied from the beating the day before, they stayed attentive to what God might be doing in that moment. And because of that, the jailer, it says, and his entire family responded to the gospel because of the testimony that God was building in their lives. I'm inspired by this dedication. I read this passage and I'm inspired by their obedience to the Lord, because they chose this moment of suffering to allow them to follow God even in continued hardship. And what I'm about to say is probably a little tender for some of us this morning, especially if you came to church this morning and you're currently in the midst of suffering. But what we see from godly friends and what we can draw out from this passage is that, yes, in the midst of suffering, prayer and worship need to be central to what we are about and central to our godly friendships. But also, in your suffering, you need to stay on mission. You need to stay on mission in the midst of suffering. And I know it's tender. It's hard to say. And I say it with a lot of grace and know my heart. I say it with a lot of tenderness and love, especially for those of you who came in this morning suffering. But look at Paul and Silas. Because of their prayer and because of their worship, they were equipped to never stop looking at how God might use every situation, even the hard ones, for his glory. There are going to be great times in your life, and there are going to be hard times in your life. There are going to be times when the mountaintop is so high it feels like nothing can go wrong, and there are going to be valleys so low. There's going to be suffering that's so exhausting and pain that runs so deep and burnout that's so tiresome that you're not sure if you can keep your eyes on God's mission anymore. And that's why it's so important to have kingdom friendships. That's why it's so important to be linked up with a handful of people who can lock arms with you and keep walking, even if it's just a crawling pace towards God. Because it's in those moments that we need to be reminded that maybe God is up to something in our lives and all around us. The reality is we can just get tunnel vision in the midst of suffering. We can. And we need each other. When one is weak, the other can be strong. When one is suffering, the other can pray. And when one of us can't move forward, the other can gently remind us that God's great plan, even if it's a future promise and future reality, is to redeem all things. It's to redeem all things, including your current pain. If it's all prayer and worship, we can get a little introspective. in the midst of suffering. At the same time, if you only focus on the second half of verse 25 or the second half of this verse, and it's only all about mission, all about mission, all about mission, you're not going to be the greatest friend because you'll be lacking empathy for your friends who are experiencing suffering. We need both of these things. And we need to live in the tension as kingdom people of, yes, there is pain and yes, there is suffering, but also God is up to something. And if we can marry both of those things in our relationships together, man, we can change the city. We can love FOCO. And you will impact your friends in a kingdom kind of way. We will be the godly friend that the world needs in the midst of incredible pain.
We can all grow in this. We all want to have amazing friends. We all want great friends, and we all want to be great friends. Part of being a godly friend is loving like Christ, and that includes learning to go through suffering together. As we get ready to close, I just wonder if there's anyone in the room or watching online, and maybe you've never started a relationship with Jesus. Well, I want to invite you to do that today. In a little bit, we're going to give you time for that. Maybe you might be like the jailer. You might be in the inner dungeon, but you don't have a relationship with the one who can set you free, and you're asking the same question that the jailer was asking: what must I do to be saved? You can feel bound by your past mistakes. Life feels like you're imprisoned by pain, and maybe you can't shake the suffering that has defined your life in recent days. And if that's you, then in just a few moments, we'll give you a chance to give your life to Christ today, because it doesn't have to stay that way. Your present pain and your future hope can all be given to Jesus Christ.
And if you're here with us this morning and you've been a follower of Christ for quite some time, we just want to remind you that the world needs godly friends. People are suffering all around us, and they need godly friends who will come alongside of them and offer more than just a temporary escape. People need godly friends who will offer more than a lifeless distraction or a muted expression of care and love. And as Christians, you can offer them the comfort they need because the Comforter dwells within you. You can offer them peace because the Prince of Peace has drawn near to you. And you can offer them love because the power of the cross has transformed you from the inside out. This is what the world needs. Yes, we need all kinds of things in our friendships, but we most definitely need to be friends who are willing to suffer with one another. Let's pray.